Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 and FY24 earnings conference call of Sarodaya Small Finance Bank Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital (PCG) Debt. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aman from PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manuja. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital Private Client Group, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 and FY24 earnings conference call of Sarodaya Small Finance Bank Limited. From the management, we have Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, Managing Director and CEO; Hemant Shah, Executive Director; Mr. Kanishka Chaudhary, Chief Financial Officer; and Mr. Himadri Das, Investor Relations. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Ramachandran for his opening remarks, and we will then open the floor for the question-and-answer session. Over to you, Mr. Ramachandran.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of Sarodaya Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to our Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. I trust that everyone has had the opportunity to review the presentation for the quarter and for full year ending March 31st, 2024, which was uploaded on the stock exchanges. Now, let me provide an overview of Sarodaya's key operational and financial metrics as of Q4 and FY24. On the business performance, on gross advances front, the bank's gross advances stood at 8,650 crores in FY24 as compared to rupees 6,114 crores in FY23, an increase of 41.5% year-on-year. The growth is primarily driven by increased disbursements across inclusive finance, commercial vehicle, and mortgages segment. We are happy to share that Vikas Loans, the individual loan portfolio offered to banks graduating JLG customers, has surpassed rupees 2,600 crores of AUM and now contributes over 53% of the inclusive finance portfolio. We have over 4.3 lakh Vikas Loan customers as of now. On the disbursement front, our bank disbursement for the full year rose by 36.1% to rupees 6,919 crores as compared to corresponding previous period last year. The disbursement during Q4 FY24 stood at rupees 2,340 crores, a growth of 38.6% year-on-year. Vikas Loan disbursement almost doubled to rupees 2,523 crores in FY24 as compared to rupees 1,270 crores in FY23. On the deposits and borrowing front, our deposits witnessed a growth of 50.5% to rupees 7,777 crores in FY24 against rupees 5,167 crores in FY23. The CASA ratio has increased from 17.1% in FY23 to 20.1% in FY24. We continue to focus on building a sticky and granular retail deposit book. The retail deposits as a percentage of overall deposits currently stands at 78.8% in FY24 versus 73.1% during FY23. Our borrowings at the end of March 24 formed approximately 20% of the total liabilities, the majority of which is from refinancing institutions, SIDBI and NABARD. On the distributions front, our bank has a network of 695 branches, of which 109 branches were liability-focused, while 392 branches were asset-focused, and the balance comprises of rural centers. The bank continues to invest in expanding the branch network, coupled with increasing depth in the existing branch network through competitive service offerings. On the asset quality, our bank's gross non-performing assets have reduced to 2.8% in FY24 from 3.1% in FY23, and the net non-performing assets has decreased to 0.8% in FY24 compared to 1.5% in FY23. Our bank will continue to cover the eligible unsecured portfolio under the CGFMU scheme to mitigate any unforeseen risks. On the earnings update, our net interest income stood at rupees 962.2 crores as compared to rupees 746.6 crores, an increase of 28.9% year-on-year. Our net income stood at rupees 1,181.6 crores as compared to rupees 844 crores, an increase of 40% year-on-year. Our yield has improved to 20.2% in FY24 from 19.3% for FY23. NIM has increased from 9.5% in FY23 to 9.8% in FY24. Our cost of funds have increased from 6.7% in FY23 to 7.3% in FY24. Our cost to income, excluding CGFMU investment, stood at 57.1% as compared to 60% in FY23. Cost to income, including CGFMU expenses, stood at 61.6%. On the CRAR front, we continue to remain well capitalized with our CRAR at 28.4%, which is well above the regulatory requirement. We continue to invest in our people infrastructure with focus on employees' well-being and believe this is key to serving our customers meaningfully. We continue to invest in technology and this is a key enabler for our controls and growth. Going forward, our strategy would be to transition from predominantly being a micro-lender to becoming a micro-banker for low-income households with a sharper focus on going deeper into our existing geographies and continuing to provide holistic banking services to our customers. Going granular on both the lending and deposit side would be a key enabler to achieving our core strategy. Let me thank all of you for participating in the call and over to you, Aman.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. And sir, congratulations on excellent performance, sir. And thanks for giving me this opportunity. Sir, I had a few questions. First is on concentration risk. Sir, any plans to reduce the exposure to top three states? Because on a year-on-year basis, still at 66%, the concentration seems to be high. So if you can highlight any strategy over that.
Yes, Shailesh, I mean, that is something that we will work on for progressive improvement, right? So on a year-on-year basis, we have had a little over 2% improvement. And I think this year will be crucial for us to improve that mix.
Our Shailesh, as you know, that our portfolio is substantially covered with the CGFMU, which mitigates the risk substantially, at least in terms of balancing of an unsecured to secured in a meaningful manner.
So can you throw some light on the CGFMU cover? How that expense shape up for next year? And in case of when you start getting recoveries from this piece, is it expected in FY25? And how does it work? Can you just do a little bit of detail in that for that?
Yeah, so we are now eligible for making claims for the first set of cover that we did about a year back, right? And we would want to see that we are able to make our first claim in this quarter itself, just to one, you know, test, you know, our housekeeping in terms of how we have been able to, you know, earmark the customers as well as maintain the documentation as is required for the program. So that's the way that things stand today. I think we have a very program-level approach for the CGFMU scheme. We don't cherry-pick. We are very clear that insofar as our JLG customer portfolio and the Vikas Loan customer portfolio is concerned, we will continue to, you know, insure them. And as things stand today, more than 90% of the portfolio is insured.
So can you just quantify that? So when we say the first tranche is eligible or the first cover is eligible for PA in the first quarter, so can you just quantify that? What will be that tranche which has been covered and what is expected on recovery side?
Perfect. Amount which would be eligible for claim of, under the CGFMU scheme would be about 44-45 crores worth of NPA, of which 72.75 as per the scheme is something what we would be making a claim on, the, again, for the recovery.
So that's a very decent sum. So that is expected in first quarter itself next year, FY25?
Yes, that's what we are targeting, Shailesh. So for this financial year, we would look to make claims, gross claims, somewhere in the region of 45-50 crores. And as per the program parameters, about 70% of the claim that is made by us gets paid back to us.
Shailesh, as you know, this is a credit insurance scheme. We are, our credit parameters continue to be as without the cover, and our insurance premium, which we pay in the years, may be higher than the claims that we make. But the intent was to really cover that one-off instance, which keeps happening 4 or 5 years, at least based on historical trends. We do not want to really have the portfolio open-ended, and the purpose of the cover is for that, not necessarily the cost-benefit analysis in the short term.
Fair enough. Sir, and on the expense front, how do we see the expense for the next year? That's the second part of my question on CGFMU.
So I think with the way that we see the book growing, our expense on CGFMU will be somewhere in the range of 70 crores-80 crores. That's what we have in mind for the time being.
And sir, if you can just give the guidance for FY25 as well, in line with that.
Sorry, can you repeat that again, please?
Yeah, so can we get some guidance for FY25 in terms of growth in advances, deposits, CASA?
Yeah, you can refer to the last page of the investor deck that we have put up. So in terms of, you know, loan book, we are talking about a  30-35% of growth. And in terms of deposits, we intend to have somewhere around a 40-45% kind of a growth. Keeping in mind that we have made a regulatory commitment to improve our CD ratio to 100% by the end of the financial year.
So in that, if you can color, give me a color of secured and unsecured in that piece of 30-35% growth, how would that look by end of FY25?
So today, my secured book is about 41%, and by the end of next year, we would want to be around 45%.
Fair enough. Sir, a couple of more questions from my side, if I may. Sir, there is some marginal decline in terms of collection efficiency for our Vikas loan in this quarter, one EMI adjusted. Anything to read into it, especially when we are hearing from many players that collection is taking, collection effort, more efforts are required on collection front. So anything you would like to highlight about the quality or
yes,
collection
mean,
efforts? Anything?
We do recognize that the book has grown almost 2 times as compared to last year to 2,600 odd crores. And as a matter of fact, this is now the biggest part of the portfolio today, which obviously means that we now need to augment our organization. So we are already in the process of, you know, recreating our collection organization where, given that these are individual borrowers, we will have a collection mechanism commensurate to the portfolio size. So we are rebuilding our entire collection organization, which caters specifically to the increasing number of VL customers.
So basically, right now we are not seeing any stress in terms of collection efficiency, and that is what I wanted to understand.
Nothing at this particular point in time.
Okay, so just last question, sir, on customer addition, I think we are a little bit of a lower side as compared to our growth in general for advances. How do we see that, and what is the strategy going ahead for FY20 on that front, FY25 on that front?
So at least you added around close to 70 branches in IF. The intent is to really kind of increase at least the new customer acquisition to 40,000 to 50,000, which we are seeing attraction. But however, we continue to be prudent in terms of acquiring new to credit customers, and as far as the new to bank customer, while regulatory norms allow us to kind of acquire customers even if they have a relationship with 2 or 3 MFI/banks on that front, we continue to focus in terms of the overall indebtedness, not beyond around 6,000 to 7,000 rupees, including our installment. Okay, see what's wrong.
And just to give you a bit of a color, Shailesh, in the microfinance book, we have added 122,000 customers in Q4, and this number was 90,000 in Q3.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. That's very useful. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. So I just have one question, and that's on your ROI guidance. Because in last couple of quarters, we have been mentioning that we want to inch above 2.5-2.6%, and you're still guiding for 2.2%. Because if I'm not wrong, in the analyst meet also, you were saying that we want to reach at 3%. So if you can just guide us why the ROI guidance is still around 2.2%.
What we are really looking at is, in terms of look at the ROA, KC to add later, is that this is net of CGFMU, which is approximately closer to around 30 to 40 basis points. That comes to around closer to 2.6. And if you impute that in terms of ROE from 12.9, it will be around closer to 15.5-15.6%. We are also equally cognizant of the fact that as a responsible lenders in the low-income household, our intent would be to kind of, you know, go down the pricing and kind of keeping, making sure that we pick the right customers. And to the extent the cost loan will be the pivot on which we will do it. So we are not excessively focused in terms of high ROE, ROE. We are looking at on the medium-term, long-term basis, a steady-state ROE of 14 to 16. You may say that probably there's a partial shift in terms of chasing a very high ROE or ROA to saying that can it be meaningful and a very consistent ROE of anywhere between around 2.3 to 2.6. But more importantly is from an ROE point of view, a consistent 14 to 16, 16.5% inching up by 25 to 50 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Over to KC to add.
Yeah, I mean, at this particular point in time, we would look to, you know, target an ROE of around, you know, 2 quarter or a little over that, given that we may want to, you know, offer slightly better pricing, especially for the second cycle VL customers, right? So our VL program started in a big way about, you know, 18 months ago. So many of these customers will be coming up for the second cycle, and we would want to give them a better pricing based on the kind of credit performance that they have had.
Just one follow-up on this. Since we are growing at 30-35% and our ROE is still at 14-16%, we will be consuming a lot of capital this year and next year. So where will be the right capital adequacy you will look to raise funds? Like at around 20% will be the right place where you think that we have to raise money?
Our comfort ROE, I mean capital adequacy ratio earlier was around 25%. Then you are 100% unsecured. As we shift the balance from unsecured secured, as KC guided, from 41 to 45%, will be comfortable anywhere in the region of around 20%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of horizon we will have in mind. We should be able to, you know, raise capital when we are inching towards that 20% number.
So that will be at least 1.5 years away, according to you?
Yes. I mean, in terms of an event, yes, it will be anywhere between 15 to 18 months away.
Right, sir. Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Tulsirao from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my first question is on secured loans. I guess the weighted average yield for our secured loan book is around 11 to 12% and our cost of funding is around 7.5%. And the overall OPEX is 5.5%, so even if I assume 3% for secured loans, our ROA is less than 1% on secured loans. So do we have any plans to increase the yields on secured loans by going up the curve, whatever? Yeah.
Anil, I think, no, the intent is to really grow a very strong mortgage portfolio and specifically focused on LAP, targeted on business customers. On the long-term basis, there are multi-product, including liabilities raising from these customers, so it is a little more strategic than, and the cost of operations for mortgages drops down substantially at a good base. Currently, we have 1,600 crores, including micro mortgages, which is at 235 crores at this point of time of the 1,600 crores. We think that now around 2,500 crores, it will give a pretty decent ROE of around close, it's a little above 11%, but it, from a long-term business perspective and also from a strategic point of view of having a balanced portfolio as a bank, we would continue to operate in this range, not really increase the pricing, because we also changed our mix from looking at a near prime as far as the mortgages are concerned, except in micro mortgages where it will be predominantly NTC and one graduated JLG customers. What you please?
And sir, coming to the ROA guidance, if we look for next 3 to 4 years sustainable ROA, will it be still around 2.5% or you will aim around 3%, the ROA guidance?
Given the way we would want to increase a mix of our secured book, we would want to be range bound to 2.3 to 2.5, right? So that's the kind of a horizon that we have in mind.
Is this because of the pressure from the RBI to reduce the interest rates to the customers, the revised ROA guidance?
Not really. So what when we kind of what we're really looking at is in terms of one on our own, which is what we in fact board had instructed earlier, is that as Vikas Loan stabilizes, this is the nuance in Vikas Loan is that there is no pressure on the customer to pay on behalf of anybody else, whether it's a half installment or one installment. So initially the cost of operations for Vikas Loan is higher, was higher. As Casey mentioned, as we have more and more seasoned customers who are paying on their own, as a bank, our intent was to really go down on the pricing path in terms of reducing it from current 28 to around closer to around 24% over the next 1 year. There is an imputed risk because we are dealing with an individual customer, so collection efforts required will be higher in terms of even a marginal stress. As Shailesh asked, at this point of time, while we do not see, we want to create a robust secondary collection infrastructure even for good customers. So that's for me and
what yeah.
You,
Casey? No, I would tend to.
And what we are investing this year and which we have started investing quite a bit back is that to ensure that all our borrowing customers do not continue to be only borrowing customers from Suryoday. We wanted a main focus in terms of PMJJY, PMSBY and basic term insurance, not from a purpose of cross-sell or commission, but in terms of ensuring that we have a far higher stickiness and the customers are overall financially comfortable. That would mean more investment from us. While we may not earn anything out of a PMJJY, PMSBY, the investment per customer would be closer to around 50 to 100 rupees. We are building that architecture. We have already done. So we have already piloted it. The intent is to really cover the customer and the eligible spouses under these government insurance schemes. So to that extent, there will be a little increased expenses, which we would consider as more of an investment.
Got it. And sir, coming to CGFMU, I was under impression that we will be able to claim only once the NPA on the whatever the book we insured is beyond 3%. So how are we eligible to make claim in the current year itself?
No, so there are two prerequisites for this, right? So your first claim should be only after 12 months of your having insured a portfolio. And the second is that the claim accounts should be NPA for a period of 6 months. So if those two criteria are met, then you would be able to, make a claim under the program.
Just to add to what Casey said, the 3% that you are referring to, I believe, is the first loss, 3%. That is not on the portfolio loss. That is on the amount which has become NPA. So suppose 100 rupees is the amount of NPA, 3 rupees is the first loss which has to be borne by the member lending institution, and then out of the balance 97, the loss proportion is, or rather the guarantee proportion is 75% of that. So when we said 72.75, that was taking into consideration the 97 into 75.
The 3% of the first loss.
After taking into consideration the 3%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, please, you are.
Sir, I joined a bit late, so please excuse me if I'm repeating the question. So, in terms of provision, was there any additional provision we did this quarter because our gross NPA declined, right? In spite of that, even our PCR ratio has gone up to 71%. So, was that the thought process behind the higher provision? So some light on that would be helpful.
Yeah, so we have tweaked a little bit a couple of our policies insofar as provisioning is concerned, which has certainly helped in improving our PCR numbers. So for example, for the unsecured microfinance book, going forward on a regular basis, moment an account becomes NPA, we will be making 50% provision. Right.
Okay.
So which is the reason why you see that in the P&L, we have taken, for about 40 odd crores of specific provisions relating to NPA, and that has certainly helped us improve our PCR.
And we intend to keep this 70% kind of a PCR going forward as well?
Yes, it will be our endeavor to stay very close to that number. As you are aware, when we started the year, we were a little under 50% and took us a year to reach to this number as we had guided right throughout the year. So going forward, we would stay very much close to that 70% number and, as a matter of fact, even try to improve it.
Oh, that's a prudent policy. I mean, that's very good actually. And so what do we see the what do we see in terms of credit cost in FY25?
Well, very difficult to predict, right? But I mean, if you ask me, my opinion would be that I would want to be at the same stage where we are today for this financial year, which has been, you know, somewhere in the range of 1.5 to 1.8%.
1.5 to 1.8% credit cost outlook.
Correct. Yes.
My third question is on your ROA. So you did mention that in the medium term we are looking at 2.3 to 2.5%. So one of the major reason is that we want to increase our secured book mix, where ideally your NIMs would be on the lower end as compared to what we are seeing currently, right?
Yes, that's true. So, you know, our being able to stick to a 2.3 ROA and also improve the mix is contingent on a few things that we would need to do. So, like Bhaskar indicated, you know, micro LAP and micro mortgage is something that we would need to grow in a big way. Some of the other products, like, you know, providing funding to merchants is something that we would need to start building up in a big way. And importantly, you know, bank assurance business is something that we are really looking forward to build so that we can see significant growth in our fee business.
Okay, okay. Understood. And in 2-3 years, what would be our target? I think FY25, you mentioned 45%. It does a secured book. So where do you want to reach in 2-3 years?
Yeah, so that's the kind of a mix we are targeting at this particular point in time. And our endeavor will be, you know, to be closer to the 2-quarter or a little better than that in terms of ROA.
So I was just trying to understand the secured book mix. So currently...
Yeah, so like I said, secured book today is 41%. We would want it to be around 45% in about 3 years' time.
In about?
In about 2 to 3 years' time, we would want to have a secured book which is in excess of 45%.
Okay, in 2 to 3 years, around 45%, right?
The intent is as a kick up, the scale up starts in micro mortgages. The ideal percentage we would like to go and then kind of stabilize there would be around a little above 50% for secure, and that will also be part of that would be secure funding to our inclusive finance customers.
Okay, okay, understood. And then my last question is on, I mean, because of this election and all, are we seeing any kind of slowdown in any region or kind of any stress in any particular region?
We haven't, and we haven't to an extent not heard anything from the market or from our peers. So one, I think it's a phased out elections, and we haven't really seen or heard anything.
And not even a slowdown. I mean, are we slowing any disbursement in any particular region because of this this event?
Hi, that's an ongoing activity. We keep evaluating the bottom 25 branches and keep slowing down, and we keep tightening the policies. That's our prudent risk management practice.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the very best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulavarthi Sai Kiran, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Sai.
Hi. Am I audible? Yeah.
Very well, Sai.
Yeah. Sir, just one question on the, what I can say, asset quality side. If I look at it, one, we have already ECLGS covered, and over and above that, we also taking CGFMU. And over and above that, we are also taking conservative provisioning of 50% immediately after it becomes an NPA. So if I look at on a sustainable basis on terms of the P&L impact, if the credit or the GNPAs are below 3%, then typically the CGFMU plus the provision charges in the P&L should be equal to only the CGFMU cost. Is our understanding right, sir?
What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, assuming that we don't have the kind of, I mean, moderated flow forwards, that's what we would ideally like to target.
Sai, also the fact is that till now, the base year was 23, FI23. FI24 was a cool, whatever you can call it, the cooling period. So first claim of what we covered in the base year, which is FI23, we can make a claim. And CGFMA, as you're aware, and as we have discussed, it will be once in a year claim only. Once the flow starts coming in terms of our NPA coverage in 72.5, as Karthik explained, so to that extent, our investment in CGFMU, while this year it could be closer to 75-80 crores, net-net, if you take also the inflows that is coming out of it, it will get normalized starting probably from this financial year.
Yeah, that's what I'm just kind of thinking. So essentially, the cyclicality which you would have seen in the credit cost historically will not be there going forward, considering the CGFMU plus probably some sort of an ECLGS. Is that understanding that primarily on the MFI book?
Believe the same, yeah.
Got it, sir, got it. And the second question, sir, in terms of the capital consumption, with the guarantees being there, would you like to see some benefits on the capital as well, sir?
No, so today if you look at the composition of our book, you know, our risk-weighted assets are around 77%. Which very closely approximates to the 75% risk weight that we carry for our MFI business, right?
Yeah.
Which is about 60% of what we have today. I think there are two things that we need to keep in mind as we go forward, which is that if we are doing more of home loan kind of a business, our risk weight will be somewhere around 35 to 40%. But if we do more of LAP, it carries a risk weight of 75%. So we would need to have, you know, a right mix of the two, or start evaluating when we need to raise capital if we foresee that, you know, LAP is the predominant business for us. And we are trying to price our products accordingly, given the capital consumption involved.
No, but my question is that because you have got an MFI book and you also got it guaranteed from CGFMU, will there be any benefit of risk weights coming down from 75% for the MFI book, because 100% of the MFI book is CGFMU, that will come down from 75%?
No, at this particular point in time, we have not exercised the option of, you know, carrying a lower risk weight. We can always do that. We can have around a 15% benefit, but for the time being, we are being cautious and not exercising that.
Okay, if you choose to exercise that option, that will come down from 75% to 60%. Is my understanding right?
No. To the extent of the cover that you have, right? Up to a level of 15%. Assuming that your credit losses are well within that, then that's the benefit that you enjoy.
So, Sai, some put it out, the 15% of the coverage, which is on a 5,000 crore portfolio, we have, say, full coverage. 750 crores can be risk-weighted at zero. So, which means that no...
That's what I thought, sir. Because MFI book, anyways, you will go to 100% CGFMU cover within a quarter or two, once this happens, and if you choose to, what I can say, option, that MFI book which currently is carrying 75% risk weight, we can go down to 60%. That's what is my understanding, right?
I wouldn't know the mathematics you needed to put, but if you say 100% is covered, 15%, which is the credit loss, can be risk weighted at zero instead of 75%.
Overall,
a current portfolio balance, the capital adequacy can probably go up by around 2%, 2 to 3%, max.
Understood, sir. I'll reverse target. Thanks, sir, sir. And all the best, sir. Congratulations on a really good set of numbers as well, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Prabhadayal from Yash Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. सर मैंने लेट ज्वाइन किया तो मेरे दो क्वेश्चन हैं. एक अपन यूनिवर्सल लाइसेंस के लिए एलिजिबल है या नहीं, अगर है तो अपन कब तक यूनिवर्सल बैंकिंग लाइसेंस अपने को मिल जाएगा.
तो I think we will take about a year to be eligible. हमारे को एक साल और लगेंगे to fulfill all the criteria for you know being eligible to apply for being a universal bank. और एक साल लगेगा for
eligibility.
कौन से पैरामीटर पे अपने eligible नहीं हो पा रहे
हैं? सर हमारे GNPA 3% के ऊपर था, दो बहुत कंडीशन, चार पांच कंडीशन है. एक GNPA 3% के नीचे होना चाहिए दो कंटिन्यूस फाइनेंशियल ईयर्स के लिए. नेट NPA होना चाहिए 1%. सो 1% हमारा लास्ट ईयर ज्यादा था, तो ये साल 1% हो गया.
सर मेरा सेकंड क्वेश्चन है सर, बिग प्लेयर्स जो है मार्केट इंडस्ट्रीज के, वो इनऑर्गेनिक ग्रोथ देख रहे हैं. जैसे रिसेंटली AU बैंक ने एक स्मॉल फाइनेंस बैंक को एक्वायर किया, कोई ऐसी अपॉर्चुनिटीज या कोई ऐसा प्रपोजल अपने माइंड में है क्या?
कुछ नहीं, अभी तो कुछ नहीं है. हम तो ग्रो कर रहे हैं एंड हमारा उद्देश्य है कि बियॉन्ड माइक्रो लेंडिंग कैसे हम माइक्रो बैंकिंग बैंक बनेंगे. वो तो और दो तीन साल और उसके ऊपर भी है. सो हमारा एम्बिशन सिर्फ फाइनेंशियल के ऊपर नहीं है. कैन वी मेक एन इम्पैक्ट ऑफ द सोसाइटी 1% ऑफ द इंडियन पॉपुलेशन, हमने हमारा उद्देश्य लिया है. तब तक के लिए हम कुछ अभी सोच में नहीं है.
सर मेरा लास्ट क्वेश्चन है सर, अपना ये नेक्स्ट टू इयर्स के लिए ROE, AUM और ब्रांच एक्सपेंशन के क्या है सर माइंड में?
जैसा हमने पहले बताया, हमारा उद्देश्य रहेगा कि ROE हम गाइडेंस हमारा 14-16% का हो. और जहाँ तक हमारे लोन बुक की बात है, हम लोग ये चाहेंगे कि वो 30-35% से ग्रो करे
नेक्स्ट टू इयर्स.
यस.
ब्रांच एक्सपेंशन का क्या प्लान है सर नेक्स्ट टू इयर्स के लिए?
नहीं, ब्रांच एक्सपेंशन हम लोग निरंतर करते रहेंगे. इस साल भी हमने जैसे माइक्रो बैंकिंग में 70 ब्रांच जोड़े हैं, तो हमारा यही प्रयास रहेगा कि आगे भी हम इस तरह से अपना एक्सपेंशन करते रहें.
ओके, थैंक यू सर.
या थैंक यू.
थैंक यू. द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ प्रीतेश बाम फ्रॉम डैम कैपिटल. प्लीज गो अहेड.
Hi sir, congrats on a very good set of numbers. I had two questions. One is basically on our, if you've not answered on this, cost of funds and cost of deposit this quarter, it's been a little better. What has been the reason and what will be the trajectory ahead?
I think, you know, given how things are playing out, we would want to see our cost of funds stabilize at this level. You would note that in Q3 as well, we were at the similar levels, right? What we have done as a bank is that, you know, we are constantly reviewing the various modes of financing available to us. For example, for the last two quarters, we have been actively, looking at the IBPC market, which does provide us with a SLTRO, which provides us with a 2% interest arbitrage. But at the same time, we are conscious of the fact that a component of our financing is, you know, SLTRO financing, which came to us at 4%. And that financing will retire and mature by December of this year. So it is important for us to be able to find and substitute, and the primary substitute for that will be the growth in the CASA.
Okay. Second question was on your cost to income. This quarter we've seen very stable, but we were in a range of something like a 50 to 60, maybe around 62. But what do you see, how do you see it going ahead for you, given that there is some expansion going to happen, but overall how do you feel that number can pan out? And that is also, you know, an important factor for ROE improvement.
So, if you look for this year, our cost to income, including the CGFMU expenses, was 60%, and excluding it was 57%. Our ambition is that for the next year, our cost to income, including CGFMU, will be in the region of 57%.
So will this now CGF, the insurance premiums which we used to pay on the previous book, now that is more or less over, so that's why we'll get the benefit. Is that correct?
So it's become the norm, right? So we insured for the first time last year, and we will continue doing that. So the improvement that you see from 60% to 57% is something that's largely accountable to, you know, attributable to the growth in the book and the operating leverage.
Got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Shailesh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So just two questions. The SLRTO part, what is the quantum of that which is we are going to repay in December 2024?
750 crores.
And just one question on with respect to our non-interest income. It has really grown, right? Sequential basis also there is a huge jump. So is there any one-off, and what would be the consistent run rate for FY25? If you can just throw some light on that.
No, so you know the quarter-on-quarter growth that you see is largely on account of the higher disbursements that we have done this quarter. We did around 2,400 crore, right? And of that, 1,000 crores was from Vikas loan, where we are we have a processing fee of 2.5%, right? And even on the JLG book, we make around 1.7%, right? So all of that has certainly helped us, you know, improve our other income on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
So basically, it's business as usual. There is no one-off in that, and that yes. is expected to continue yes. as the book grows.
Correct. There is no one-off involved in this case.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Ad. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, just one more question on CGFMU. Unfortunately, in a bad year, if our NPA reaches 20% on the unsecured book, how much we get from this scheme, CGFMU?
God forbid, not for the reason that even in the worst of COVID, I think we didn't really kind of reach that level except for a spiking off in one or quarters. So the maximum coverage, I think, is the best. So you can explain.
So the maximum on our portfolio cover basis, the additional claim will be 15% of the amount which is disbursed. Based on the rundown, it may become a little higher percentage in terms of what can be claimed. But obviously, we don't believe we would want to reach to that level.
Okay, and we get 100% of the 15%, right?
No, we get 72.75% of the claim that you make.
Okay. And sir, now that we reduced our ROA guidance, will we also adjust our advances growth? Or we want to go over a long-term 3 to 4 years of over 30-35% or a little lower? What would you think?
No, we will continue to, we see ourselves growing in this range at this particular point in time. The ROA moderation, as you talk of, is largely on account of the mix change that we seek to achieve. First from 41 to 45% and then hopefully, 50% over a three-year period.
But this mix we were guiding earlier also, right? Then all of a sudden, I'm just unable to understand all of a sudden why we are reducing the guidance from 3 to 2.5%. Earlier also, we were clear about the mix change. Mix change strategy is not new.
Anil, what kind of, when you look at it, predominantly we can now cater to current closer to around 16 lakh active inclusive finance customers. And the Vikas loan has been at this point of time as we speak, has given us experience in terms of looking at a real holistic banking for our customers. So we are not excessively now sweating over in terms of how can we really maximize. Even if the customer were willing to pay 30% in Vikas loan and whatever, our intent is to really can we responsibly take it. And as you asked, there has been, at this point of time, we had no regulatory requirement or regulatory nudge. But being responsible in this segment, we really felt that if we have to be a long-term, respectable bank,
creating an impact, which is our intent is 1% to a positive impact on the Indian population, which is around close to 35 lakh households. We drilled back and we said, can we on our own be responsible in terms of going down from 28 itself to around 24 with a career guided, which we are not probably qualified and disclosed it, but that's the intent. So can we be a solid, steady state, 14 to 16%, aided by CGFMU, focusing on income generating loans and focusing on the other side in terms of secured, a substantially lower credit loss, which means that we are not going to do there as well in terms of only NTC. So that will be a little different profile of a segment from a risk management point of view. And here is where we would like to kind of put it. So overall, ROA is a factor, ROA and ROE is a factor, is in terms of the leverage. So as the mix goes up, otherwise earlier as a NBFC MFI, we leverage no more than 3. Max, when you go to 4, we raise capital. As the balance becomes 50%, 50% approximately, our intent is that ROA is around 2.2 to 2.3, 2.5, and an ROE of on a consistent basis, around 15 to 16%, and inching up maximum to around 17%.
Okay, sir. And the last question is on the liability side, over the next 2 to 3 years, what are the additional initiatives you want to take to increase your retail book?
Hi, good morning. So I think first our major focus is to continue and build our retail and general book, which I think has been demonstrated over the last 1 year. Secondly, we have launched, a soft launch rather, our premium banking program. So this quarter you'll see a formal launch on the same happening, and we've also have widened our focus on the value generating segments such as task and institutional business. Further, I think we would like to continue this journey in space of digital banking through either our own video banking or partnerships. And of course, the focus on getting deeper into existing geographies and also looking at leveraging our microfinance centers and IF locations.
If you want to add anything. So to add on to this, digital banking, we are going to strengthen. We've already seen early success in that. We'll build on that. And microbanking is another journey which we started, which we clearly see that's where, while initially it's going to be a little bit of heavy lifting that will be required, but that's what we see as a sustainable growth coming in the next 3 to 5 years, over and above the strengthening of the retail deposits and the granular deposits that we are targeting.
The last question is on the tech initiative over the next 2 to 3 years. What are the tech initiatives? Can you elaborate that also?
So as a bank, we have invested heavily on the back-end and middleware. We are one of the early ones to move to TIBCO. We have done 250 crores of investment in the peak of COVID. We have strengthened our entire middleware. We are API, our entire middleware is API first middleware. So microservices enabled architecture. So we haven't done much of investments on the front end and the experience so far in the past few years. Now the next 2 years is going to be complete focus is on the customer digital first, customer friendly, and the RPA, robotic process automation. And we will be simplifying the processes for the customer. That's the primary focus.
Yeah, just to add what has been mentioned, I think it would be more in terms of the front end, typically a good CRM and all other stuff which we really want to take it up, because when the back end of the middleware is in line, and then now we can leverage further better on that to make sure that the better customer experience and customer journeys, including the digital path, can be built up.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot for very detailed answers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I hand over the call to management for closing comments.
Thank you. We thank you all for taking time out to attend our conference call and look forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.